When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you've come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Wednesday. That means Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, joins us. And Chuck, how was your first dine-in meal after Governor Sisolak's edict a week or so ago?
I've been holding off and waiting to have that first dine-in meal with you at Ichabod's.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, they have not yet reopened for that. They do have curbside and carryout, I should note. What did you make of the way the governor did that? He came out Thursday on a Thursday night and said Saturday morning at 12:01. This was like a scheduled execution or something. What did you make of the way he did that? Because a lot of restaurants weren't ready to open on Saturday at 12:01.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like I say, the governor's mishandled so many aspects of this shutdown since day one. This was just another example of it. If you're in business and you operate one of these stores, you understand that you don't just flip a switch and reopen. It would have been nice if the governor had given everyone some notice, and then they could have prepared. I mean, if you're in a restaurant, you have food that will go bad if you don't cook it. And to give them 24 hours notice, now all of a sudden they have to order the food and get the dining room ready and bring the employees back. Now, some of the restaurants who were offering takeout and curbside service, they were in a better position to go ahead and reopen because they still were keeping that supply chain moving. But other restaurants who had been shuttered completely, they just weren't able to do it. So I think you'll see a gradual reopening of more and more restaurants throughout the rest of this week leading up into this coming weekend. And from what I've been reading, there's an awful lot of pent-up demand. People ain't scared. They're unmasked and unafraid, and they're ready to go out and dine again.
I was visiting with the Nevada Restaurant Association. They say 15% of the restaurants that had to close are going to close permanently. Brio at Tivoli Village and a bunch of other restaurants here in town that are simply not going to come back. Does that surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me at all, and it was completely expected. Everyone should have seen this coming. The governor should have known this was going to happen. I think he did know it was going to happen, and he simply made the decision to shut them down anyway. And, again, this was one of those contradictory decisions that made absolutely no sense. You had some retail stores that were allowed to still remain open. You had restaurants able to serve food through takeout windows. as if that was any different than if a waiter served the food to you on a table. We all knew what was involved with the coronavirus. We all knew about social distancing and washing our hands and taking taking precautions. And the public could have dealt with this a month ago. And reopen these businesses, which, frankly, many of which never should have been closed in the first place. And so now we're going to have this devastation. Those restaurants that you mentioned, I saw the report in the Review Journal this morning, they're going to be the first of many restaurants. Those were big chain restaurants. I mean, they were well-funded restaurants. The small mom-and-pops, the diners and neighborhood restaurants, you're going to see a lot of them go belly up because of this.
Well, to me, the math just doesn't work. If you are cutting capacity in half and your profit margin is 3, 4, 5, 6% maybe for a lot of restaurants, the numbers just don't work, do they?
No, and in a previous life, I managed a restaurant, so I do have experience in the restaurant industry, and you're absolutely correct, Kevin. They operate on very low margins to start with. Now, in Nevada, a lot of the restaurants and, well, bar-type restaurants have the advantage of being able to supplement the income that they make from serving food and alcohol with gaming. But, of course, the governor has kept all the gaming facilities closed. So now you've got restaurants who are allowed to reopen, but people have been ordered to continue to stay home, and some people are obviously going to continue to follow that directive. You've got a problem with not having that gaming revenue coming in. People can't sit at the bar. You can't have bar service. And you've got reduced capacity where you're only allowed to have half the number of people that you're, you know, used to usually serving on a regular basis. So even with this partial reopening, it's still going to cost a lot of businesses. They're going to go under because of this.
What do you see down the road? And I'm talking about a month, 2 months down the road. Hopefully we're going to get gaming back on some level, maybe by Memorial Day, maybe shortly thereafter. Do you think that gaming will come back completely, even at 50% capacity?
I think that we will probably see, or at least we should at least see, local gaming resorts opening up again a lot quicker than what I think is being planned right now. The big strip resorts will probably be a little bit longer before they're allowed to reopen because they do cater to an out-of-state clientele, and there's still not a whole lot of travel going on, so it's going to be tough for them to reopen and fill their rooms. However, again, just like we were talking about with restaurants, the time to start the reopening is now. The market will take care of it. Even the strip hotels won't operate at full capacity simply because the business won't be there yet. But you're not going to get the business until you reopen and people start to get a sense of safety in going into those establishments. And the only way you're going to get that peace of mind and feel like you're secure is to actually have people going in, seeing the new steps that are being taken as precautions, feeling comfortable with doing it. And I think the people are going to be coming back a lot faster than others are predicting right now. The people aren't as afraid of this COVID disease or virus as they were a month ago. It's simply they've simply had enough, and they realize, hey, all the projections, all the doomsday scenarios didn't come true. We feel comfortable going out. We're already seeing it, and I think business is going to come back a lot faster than a lot of people are predicting right now.
Do you feel comfortable enough to fly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If I'm on an airplane, I'd probably wear a mask on an airplane.
You have to. Yeah, you have to with most of the airlines.
Yeah, and this is one of those things where there's a difference. If the airline or Costco is now requiring customers to come in and wear a mask, look, those are private businesses, and if they make that decision to say, if you want to patronize our establishment, this is what you have to do it, then you have the freedom to choose whether or not to patronize that establishment or not. The problem I have is when the government issues these one-size-fits-all and tells everybody, businesses and private individuals, what they must do, that's where I think you get into a little bit of a problem. Having the government dictate to restaurants the conditions under which they operate, having absolutely no understanding of the restaurant business whatsoever, is a recipe for disaster.
More coming up with Chuck Muth. We're going to talk hardball politics. Believe it or not, we are in the midst of a primary election. It's not coming up June 9th. It's here. It's now. I got my ballot in the mail. We'll talk about that. And what do we know about the judges? What is it we know about that? We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall. Chuck Muth alongside as we continue live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Auto All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's Live and Local Now. Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, joining us. We are not on the cusp of a primary election. We are smack dab in the middle of it. I got my ballot. You got your ballot yet?
I do have my ballot, and I'm going through the same pain that everyone else is going through, trying to figure out who to vote for all these judicial races.
Who does this favor, the mail-in ballot? Does it favor the Democrats or the Republicans?
That's kind of hard to say. I mean, off the top of your head, you would have to say that it probably favors the Democrats slightly. But in this case, we're talking about a primary. So, the Democrats, whatever they do with a mail-in election, isn't really going to affect the Republican primary races. The big concern is whether or not the precedent that has been set here is going to be extended into the November elections. And that is where a real threat is going to occur. And we've just gotten the tip of the iceberg, Kevin. I mean, there are reports that I'm getting every day from people who are sending me photographs of ballots that they've received at their address, addressed to people who either don't live there or, in one case, somebody who hasn't even been alive for 10 years, and they still got a ballot. We all knew that this was going to be a problem. Switching to an all-mail ballot that quickly only made things worse. I really fear for whether or not this election is going to be so screwed up that people are going to question whether or not it really should even be counted.
Well, let me just ask you. I talked with Scott Hammond, state senator from Southern Nevada. And I asked him if the governor mentioned the possibility of a special session. He said he did. Now, when that happens, the governor usually declares we're going to talk about this issue, that issue, and the other issue. Do you think it's possible that in a special session the governor might try and codify what we have experimented with in this primary, and that is going to an all-mail-in election for the general?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely see that as a possibility. Look, a couple of things that we've learned through this is that the Democrats are shameless in using the pandemic crisis to advance an agenda, a very radical liberal agenda that they've been stymied on for a long time, and they're using this virus crisis to advance that agenda. And one thing, you know, the governor keeps saying, you know, politics isn't involved in these decisions, but come on, give me a break. Politics has been absolutely involved in a lot of his decisions during this crisis, and I can very well see him using the crisis and say, hey, the danger hasn't passed, so we're going to go ahead and extend and do this mail-in ballot through the November election. I absolutely see that as a possibility.
And let me just ask you, from the standpoint of, politicking, if you will, or running for office, does it make running for office different, and does it require a different set of skills for somebody to run in this coronavirus era where you can't knock on doors, you can't go to town halls, you can't even hardly have debates? Does this favor one kind of candidate over another?
Yes, it does. It favors candidates who are well-funded. Either they are able to fund their campaigns out of their own pocket, they have the money and they're running using their own money, and it favors candidates who are very successful at fundraising. Because these campaigns now, because you can't do door-to-door and the events like you were mentioning, town halls and rallies and debates that don't cost money but cost human capital in organizing those types of events. A mail-in election like this benefits candidates who are well-funded, who can afford to do media, particularly direct mail, advertising on radio, advertising on social media. Those cost money. And so the candidates who have money are going to definitely have an advantage over candidates who haven't been successful at raising money or have the money to put in of their own.
Who is Stephen Klubeck? And why is he supporting efforts to recall Carolyn Goodman, the mayor of the city of Las Vegas? I don't know if you saw that, but he apparently is a major donor. Explain who he is.
Yeah, he's a timeshare kingpin. He made all of his money selling timeshares, and you know how much people love timeshares. And ever since then, he's just been a very rabid Democrat. I think I read the report saying he gave almost $500,000, $500,000 to the Democrat Party last year. He ran, or he was threatening to run for governor in 2018 and then chickened out and pulled the plug and didn't, and instead threw his support behind Governor Sisolak. So it doesn't come as any surprise that Steve Klubeck has gotten behind the Democrat governor in opposing Carolyn Goodman, who had the strength and the courage to stand up and says the emperor has no clothes. I mean, she raised legitimate criticisms of the governor's decisions on this shutdown, and that should be rewarded. That shouldn't be result in a recall. But, you know, if he's going to fund the recall, maybe they'll get the signatures. It's very tough to get signatures for a recall election. Maybe they'll get the signatures, but I don't see how they have a prayer of unelecting or recalling Carolyn Goodman. I think she won the last election with 83% of the vote, and she has been responsible, and she has been that lone canary in the mineshaft saying, hey, we're doing too much damage to the economy that's not necessary. We need to find a way to start opening sooner. And I think history is going to prove that she was right and the governor was wrong.
Explain, if you will, because I know earlier on in this coronavirus thing, there have been recall petitions on the governor. And I think at one point you said it is virtually impossible with some of the changes they've made in state law to recall a sitting governor. What about for a sitting mayor? Is it the same?
It is still extremely difficult. Instead of getting 10% of registered voters to sign a petition, you need to get 25% of voters who actually voted in the last election. The threshold is very, very high, and it's a small universe. Now, the difference here between a statewide recall of Governor Sisolak and a recall of the mayor is that the numbers are so dramatically different. I can't remember exactly, Kevin, but I think maybe it's around 5,000 signatures that they need to recall the mayor. So even if you were paying a professional firm $10 a signature, what's that come to, $50,000? To recall a governor, you need close to 250,000 signatures. And that is just, you need a $500,000 to $1 million going in to even have a chance of recalling the governor. So the fact that Klubeck is willing to put money up, if that's the case, to recall the mayor, then I guess that's possible, but only because it's such a small amount of money, comparatively speaking, to what it would take to recall the governor.
Chuck, it's going to be interesting to see how this this progresses, whether there will be a recall effort of Mayor Carolyn Goodman. To me, they ought to cause a parade to happen for Carolyn Goodman, not recall her. I hope it doesn't happen. We'll continue to follow it. Chuck, as always, thanks so much. If folks want to know more about what you're writing about, where do they go?
Yeah, just go to NevadaNewsAndViews.com. I'll be making some recommendations on judicial races shortly, probably later on this week. NevadaNewsAndViews.com. And, Kevin, don't forget to text me when Ichabod's is open and you and I can go have a sit-down lunch together.
We'll do it. Book it. Book it, Dano. There you go. Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, joining us. Coming up, we'll change gears. Megan Barth from ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, Red Wave America PAC. She joins us next, live and local, now.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are sharply lower after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said that the government may need to spend more to support the economy due to signs that economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic will take longer than initially thought. And the U.S. reporting a $738 billion budget deficit in April as an explosion in government spending and a shrinking of revenues as a result of the outbreak pushed it deeply into the red. And Rite Aid announcing today a new partnership with Instacart, which will allow customers to order and receive a essential healthcare and grocery items delivered directly to their homes. Condé Nast, publisher of magazines like The New Yorker, Wired, and Vanity Fair, is laying off just under 100 staffers in the U.S., reflecting the continued impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Its CEO, Roger Lynch, said a similar number of people would be temporarily furloughed and a small number would have reduced work schedules. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm Chris Foster. The coronavirus outbreak gets President Trump's former campaign manager Paul Manafort transferred from prison to home confinement in Virginia.
The 71-year-old was serving his sentence for witness tampering, tax fraud, and conspiracy at a low-security federal prison in Pennsylvania. Attorney General William Barr has directed the Bureau of Prisons to prioritize home confinement for prisoners in low and minimum security facilities who pose no safety threat to the community and have a low likelihood of recidivism.
Fox's John Decker. Dr. Anthony Fauci from the White House Coronavirus Task Force tells senators don't plan on a treatment or a vaccine in time for the next school year. Tennessee Republican Lamar Alexander tells Fox,
"We may have to have a culture of masks on college campuses for a while. But I think most students are looking forward to going back to college. And I think because of the advances in testing that we're now making in this country, they'll be able to."
America's listening to Fox News.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
Fox Nation presents A Grateful Nation. Now, more than ever, it's time for us to say thank you to America's military heroes, past and present. All month long, hear stories of courage, honor, and sacrifice from the men and women who fought on the front lines and continue to keep our country safe. Fox Nation presents A Grateful Nation. Now, for a limited time, receive a free signed copy of Pete Hegseth's new book with the purchase of a one-year subscription to Fox Nation.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
Just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
We'll be right back.
It is live and local now. I want you to hear this exchange that was really bizarre yesterday at the Senate. They call it the HELP Committee, the Health, Education, Labor, Pensions, HELP, H-E-L-P. They love to do that in Washington. Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, was grilling Dr. Anthony Fauci. And they got into this debate about opening schools in September. There is a sentiment out there for not reopening the schools and leaving them closed until we have a vaccine. This was that exchange yesterday between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci. This is cut number 4, and here it is.
We need to observe with an open mind what went on in Sweden, where the kids kept going to school. The mortality per capita in Sweden is actually less than France, less than Italy, less than Spain, less than Belgium, less than the Netherlands, about the same as Switzerland. But basically, I don't think there's anybody arguing that what happened in Sweden is an unacceptable result. I think people are intrigued by it, and we should be. I don't think any of us are certain when we do all these modelings. There have been more people wrong with modeling than right. We're opening up a lot of economies around the U.S., and I hope that people who are predicting doom and gloom and saying, oh, we can't do this, there's going to be a surge, will admit that they were wrong if there isn't a surge, because I think that's what's going to happen. In rural states, we never really reached any sort of pandemic levels in Kentucky and other states. We have less deaths in Kentucky than we have in an average flu season. It's not to say this isn't deadly, but really outside of New England, we've had a relatively benign course for this virus nationwide. And I think the one size fits all, that we're going to have a national strategy and nobody's going to go to school, is kind of ridiculous. We really ought to be doing it school district by school district. And the power needs to be dispersed, because people make wrong predictions. And really the history of this, when we look back, will be of wrong prediction after wrong prediction after wrong prediction, starting with Ferguson in England. So I think we ought to have a little bit of humility in our belief that we know what's best for the economy. And as much as I respect you, Dr. Fauci, I don't think you're the end all. I don't think you're the one person that gets to make a decision. We can listen to your advice, but there are people on the other side saying there's not going to be a surge and that we can safely open the economy. And the facts will bear this out. But if we keep kids out of school for another year, what's going to happen is the poor and underprivileged kids who don't have a parent that's able to teach them at home are not going to learn for a full year. And I think we ought to look at the Swedish model, and we ought to look at letting our kids get back to school. I think it's a huge mistake if we don't open the schools in the fall. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I respond to that, even though there are only 32 seconds left?
Yes, and you might make it clear whether or not you suggested that we shouldn't go back to school in the fall.
Well, first of all, Senator Paul, thank you for your comments. I have never made myself out to be the end-all and only voice in this. I'm a scientist, a physician, and a public health official. I give advice according to the best scientific evidence. There are a number of other people who come into that and give advice that are more related to the things that you spoke about the need to get the country back open again and economically. I don't give advice about economic things. I don't give advice about anything other than public health. So I wanted to respond to that. The second thing is that you use the word, we should be humble about what we don't know. And I think that falls under the fact that we don't know everything about this virus. And we really better be very careful, particularly when it comes to children, because the more and more we learn, we're seeing things about what this virus can do that we didn't see from the studies in China or in Europe. For example, right now, children presenting with COVID-19, who actually have a very strange inflammatory syndrome, very similar to Kawasaki syndrome. I think we better be careful, if we are not cavalier, in thinking that children are completely immune to the deleterious effects. So again, you're right in the numbers that children in general do much, much better than adults and the elderly, and particularly those with underlying conditions. But I am very careful and hopefully humble in knowing that I don't know everything about this disease. And that's why I'm very reserved in making broad predictions.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci, preceded by no less than Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky. And both make an interesting argument. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen with schools if we don't have a vaccine, and if you know, the numbers keep spiking. I mean, the governor may have to put us back under some sort of stay-at-home order to stabilize. I don't know if I want that. I'm going to see what you think. And by the way, I want to get into something else. The demo rats yesterday, I don't know if you caught this, introduced a $3 trillion stimulus bill. They may vote on it as early as Friday, maybe even tomorrow, because, of course, they want to get out of town. But the Democrats in the House of Representatives, and, of course, they're not officially back yet. They're back in district for the most part. They are pushing a $3 trillion stimulus bill highlighted by a $2,000 check, trying to one up the president. He came up with $1,200. They want to deliver a check for $2,000. You and the wife and the two kids. I mean, that's like $40 some odd hundred. That would not be bad. Now, would I feel guilty? Yes. Do I need it? No. But there are a lot of people that do need it. They should end up getting it. I want you to hear Tim Ryan. And this is his rationale. Tim Ryan, if you don't know, is a congressman from Ohio, a Democrat, and was on with Martha McCallum last night promoting this $2,000 check idea as part of a proposed $3 trillion. $3 trillion.
I can tell you I'm on the ground here in Ohio, Martha, and it's not good. And that money is coming into the system, and people are still falling behind. In April, we had almost 4 million people that weren't able to pay their mortgage. That was in April. Wait till May and June. 10% of people can't pay their rent. And if we have, and here's the point I'm trying to make to the president and the Republicans, is that if you want this economy to come back, you better make sure people aren't falling behind on their mortgages, falling behind on their credit cards, their auto payments, their private mortgage or private loans that they have out, their home equities. You better be able to make those payments. And if we want an upswing in the economy, have some money in your pocket. And that's what we're trying to do, stabilize this economy.
So I think from their side of it, they would say, number one, you got to get the economy up and running again, which I know Ohio has been very forward in getting started again, because, you know, the government can throw as much money as they possibly can at a problem, but nothing is going to bring back people's income better than actually having their income and starting to get the economy moving. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I just think we got to be real with the American people, and we're not going to just jump out of this. This isn't a light switch we're going to turn back on. Restaurants and bars, it's going to take a long time for people to really be able to go and patronize those places. My $2,000 a month would help those small business owners.
There you have it. Tim Ryan, Congressman, Ohio, proposed $2,000 checks going out. Not $1,200, $2,000 per person. How about that? Let's check in and see what Megan Barth has to say. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, Red Wave America PAC, and she joins us. Megan, what do you think of this idea of trying to one-up the president with a $2,000 check from the Democrats? Are they trying to buy the election, the presidential election?
Well, if they're not trying to steal it, they're certainly trying to buy it. The Democrats believe that the economy is completely static and there will always be money for them to steal, whether it's an election or money. They don't realize that there are upswings and downswings in the economy. But their whole goal is not to lift up the middle class or put people back to work. The whole Democrat Party's goal is to make sure that the middle class is basically destroyed. And we have everybody living on the government dole from womb to tomb. Yes, I think they're trying to buy their constituents. I mean, the more fear they create, the more pain they create. the more shutdowns they lengthen, is only going to create more economic disaster, more physical and mental health decline, and smaller, if any, paychecks that they would have coming in if they actually went back to work. And what I don't understand is how I can't get coronavirus at Walmart or Target or Costco or Lowe's or Home Depot or you name it, but I can get it at every small business, which has a much smaller blueprint than those large big box stores. Maybe we should just move all of our voting booths to the Walmarts and Targets and Lowe's in our communities, because everybody can go there. And even at Costco, Kevin, if we voted at Costco, they would require us to have an ID before we came into Costco. See how that works?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I want to ask you about the idea of traveling, because in order for gaming to succeed in this town or across the state, we're going to have travel to and from Las Vegas and to and from Reno and across the state. We're going to have that be kind of a worry-free situation for people. And I get a sense that a lot of these flights have 20, 30 people on them that can hold 150, and people are afraid to fly. How do we convince people that it's okay to fly? And by the way, would you be willing to get on an airplane today?
Yeah, I had no problem getting on an airplane. I've actually been seeing airplanes across the country quite full, as a matter of fact. There were some people that were complaining that a flight, I think, from Houston or Puerto Rico in to the inland or mainland was just packed, and people were concerned. So I think people want to get moving again. There are certain are we supposed to live in fear and live in our houses until this virus goes away? Because, by the way, it's never going away. Okay, even a vaccine does not eradicate the virus to perpetuity. So the airlines are putting in certain airlines are doing certain things according to CDC guidelines or OSHA regulations. Some are requiring masks. Some have taken out seats. They are wiping down, you know, the public areas as much as they can. They have travel recommendations for travelers. So those people that want to travel that aren't going to live in fear and actually have to travel for work or pleasure should feel free to do so, because we can fly. We've always been able to fly. But where are we to fly to when we don't have a hotel to stay at or a casino to stay at?
What is your best guess as to when the governor will lift the ban on casinos, the big casinos and the small casinos?
Well, you know, I don't like to try to play guessing games with the governor, because I would drive myself insane. You know, I never try to figure out insane people. I just usually try to avoid them. And so I think what I've been hearing is, like, Caesars is looking towards, you know, June 1st or thereabouts reservations. I know that Silverton has been advertising that they're ready to get back into the swing. There are many casinos like Wynn that have laid out a 26-page or 29-page plan to reopen. There is talk that Wynn is placing basically virtual, if you will, not virtual, but thermometer stations or something to test people's temperature by the entrances or checkout or check-in lines in the lobby. And so there's other, you know, precautions that casinos are taking, and each of the casinos are going to have their own, you know, size and blueprint to deal with, their own customers to deal with, their own employees to deal with. And this is how the free market works. You know, the Democrats who want to control everything from the top down, from a centralized government and centralized planning, just assume that everything's the same. And in a free market, it's not. And the reason it's not is because we're not controlled, owned, or bought by bureaucrats. So we all operate our businesses uniquely and tailored to our business and our clientele. And so I think the casinos are going to have to put out their own plans. I've heard that Aria, MGM, is going to be the slowest to open. MGM sent out a letter, I believe, to employees basically saying, hey, expect 63,000 of you guys to lose your job. So again, each casino, based on their financials, based on their leadership, and based on their business model, are going to open at different times and in various fashions.
Megan Barth, in our final 90 seconds, I want to ask you about the governor at 12:01 on Saturday morning, like in the middle of the night, decided to reopen restaurants, not bars, but restaurants. And I'm curious what your first meal after the Sisalak shutdown, what was it like? Where was it?
I talked to my neighbor who is a part owner in a restaurant here in my neighborhood, and I said, "Hey, are you going to open up on Saturday?" And she goes, "No, I need more than 2 days notice to open my business." She's like, "We have to get, you know, all these new regulations, the masks, the food. We have to got to get my crew back, you know." So she's going to open up May 18th, and I think that'll be my first time going out to support her and her restaurant.
Isn't that weird the way they did that, though, that they did it almost like it was a scheduled execution, that the warrant always says at 12:01 a.m. on Saturday, and yet nobody, a lot of these companies weren't ready. They'd had like 2 months to plan for this, but they didn't really know what would be required of them.
Right, and I think that's, and the reason when we were given late notice, like he's just turning on a light switch on and off, is that most bureaucrats have never run a business. They haven't even ran a lemonade stand. They don't understand what a bottom line is, because when you've lived your whole entire career inside the halls of government, you just figure that you've got money to spend, and if you don't spend it all, then you won't get more money next year. So,
wow.
You know, Steve Sisolak's business sense is something definitely I wouldn't want as a CEO of my company, let alone the CEO of the state. And I'm very glad to hear that the recall Sisolak effort now has legal representation, so they can sue in order to have an extended time of which they can collect ballots, since the whole state was shut down during their ballot signature operation.
Good point. Good point. If folks want to know more about what you're up to, where do they go?
They can go to ReaganBabe.com. Sign up for my newsletter. You'll get it every Saturday. There's a lot going on in the world and Nevada, and you'll find it all right there.
I can't wait. We'll do it again next Wednesday. Thanks so much, Megan. Always good to see you.
Wonderful, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, Red Wave, America Pack. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Wednesday. It's Hump Day. It's live and local now.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Hi, I'm Sawyer Silberkraus. My dad, Stephen Silberkraus, is running for university regent. He wants to make sure that every kid like me can get a good education. Please vote for my dad, Stephen Silberkraus, for university regent. He'll do a good job for you. Paid for by friends for Stephen Silberkraus. I love you, Dad.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes.
But boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
As a woman and a mom, sometimes you just have to take a stand. Take Dan Rodimer, who's running for Congress. You kidding me? Rodimer's violent criminal record is an immediate disqualifier. Rodimer has been arrested for violent assaults 3 times. In one case, Rodimer admitted guilt to battery. Another Rodimer attack was so horrific, his victim had intracranial bleeding. A witness at one attack told police Rodimer bragged he liked to hurt people. And an arrest warrant described Rodimer as armed or dangerous. But there's more. A police report detailed Rodimer's harassment of a teenage girl, while another exposed Rodimer was investigated for a domestic incident. It's bad enough Rodimer was sued for forgery, fraud, and for not paying his taxes. But violent assaults and harassing women? That's unforgivable. Paid for and authorized by Friends of Dan Schwartz.
I'm Dan Schwartz, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Okay. Coming up in our next hour. We'll talk a little bit about this, but I want to give you the – I kind of want to tease you a little bit. Two-thirds of Americans in a new study had what is being called a, quote, eco-wake-up call, unquote, since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. The survey of 2,000 Americans revealed 64%, more than two-thirds, have had a moment since the pandemic started wherein they realized – they needed to be more eco-friendly. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, using less toilet paper when there's a toilet paper shortage is not being eco-friendly. It's solving a problem. You got to have the TP, okay? I'm just saying. How about this? 70% said being home more due to the COVID-19 made them more aware of their eco-unfriendly endeavors. We'll give you some numbers for various things like using toilet paper. More careful where you buy meat. Now, is that eco-friendly? I'm not sure. Or are you buying price or quality? We'll talk about that. Jim Yoder will join us from the Coachella Valley. We'll find out how this whole thing is playing. By the way, did you see L.A. County may be shut down for another 3 months? 3 months. That and more coming up. Live and local now.
Nevada. This is Ted Nugent. That's right. Ted Nugent full time. I'm calling on behalf of Republican candidate for Congress, Sam Peters, who I have proudly endorsed. Sam is a retired Air Force officer, a Bronze Star earning warfighter, and one hell of an American. Like me, he supports God, family, country, President Trump, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and Build That Wall. In fact, leaders at the NRA, we just gave Sam a perfect rating. As a business owner, Sam knows how to get Nevada back to work and our country rocking and rolling again. Join Ted Nugent, the Nugent family. Endorse Sam Peters for Nevada with your vote. Learn more about Sam at sampetersforcongress.com. That's Sam Peters, the number 4, congress.com.
I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. I approve this message.
This is paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters for Congress. God bless America.
ABET, Winchester, Las Vegas, 790. Talk now. Talk that rocks.